pastorgreg.com, the website, and then my email is pastorgreg@chosengenerationradio.com.
Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at chosengenerationradio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry. And by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. I do have an incredible program lined up for you today. Nan Su with the Epic Times will be with me. Bottom of next hour, we'll be talking about what's going on with China, the CCP. They are playing a significant role in this war, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the financial issues that they're facing internally and get some insight from Nan with regards to that. Michael Letts will be with us as well. The Boston City Council has decided to underfund the police department. It should be noted that the Boston mosques have been a place that have been a known fostering place for terrorism here in the United States that not only impacts Boston, but is leaked out across the country. and we'll be paying close attention to that. Bottom of this hour, David Wormser, Dr. Wormser, will be with me live from Tel Aviv. And for those who have been following us, you know that Saturday I did a 2.5-hour interview with him as we walked through everything that was taking place in Israel as the war was at that point approximately 11 hours old. And so you can find that on our Rumble page. If you go to ChosenGenerationRadio.com, show archives, and the very first post is new videos and audio. Click on that, and the very first link is to our Rumble page, and you'll see that interview with David. Also, at the end of the interview, while I was praying with him, he had to cut out because the sirens went off, and he had to run down into the basement of the building he was in. His son's building, just blocks away, took a direct missile hit and was destroyed. Fortunately, his son was put on a plane and sent back here just the day before. But it continues, and the bombings continue. We'll get an update on that. But joining me now, and I'm very excited to have both of these gentlemen with me, Jerron Smith and Chris Pilkerton are joining me, and we want to talk about the vision of Abraham Lincoln and how we can, as conservatives, embrace that vision and do a better job, perhaps, of capturing it and bringing it to fruition in underserved communities. So, gentlemen, let me welcome you to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us, Pastor.
Thank you so much.
I know that as we were talking in the green room, we're all somewhat as I think would be understandable, preoccupied with what's going on, and I think the war in Israel is not just a war there, but there are many who suggest that it is probably going to turn into something much larger. But it also, I mean, all of this. It has a strong tie into what we're going to talk about right now with regards to the messaging to those that believe in some instances that they have been oppressed and in some instances have been oppressed. But there's a truth as it relates to all of this. And I think that's what you gentlemen are trying to get people to understand and how we can better present that truth. Am I on the right track?
Yes, you're definitely on the right track. You know, I want to first say that my heart goes out to the people of Israel, and I'm certainly keeping them in our prayers. But we wrote the book Underserved, focused as a policy playbook for today's forgotten communities. We did work in the Trump administration together and launched a campaign called Opportunity Now. And we talk about Lincoln's vision for Reconstruction because he had an economic empowerment vision. And he also had a vision for being intentional about creating opportunity right now. There's no reason for us to kick the can down the road or to go halfway because some of our communities are really suffering here in America. And we think that as a people, we need to coordinate and collaborate together to create an infrastructure of opportunity that can help lift up all communities throughout the country.
What impact is illegal immigration having, do you think, on underserved communities here in the United States? Whichever of you would like to take that question.
Sure. I would say that it has a huge impact, especially illegal immigration. Because resources, are very, rare. And obviously we're in a situation where spending has become a big issue. And so every dollar that we put into underserved communities are being stretched. It's a little unfair because we're dealing with a migrant crisis and it's growing day to day. And so it's important that we fix our immigration system so that we can better account for resources to our own underserved communities.
Now, Pastor, when we were in the White House, Jerron and I ran a program called Opportunity Now that he alluded to, and I echo Jerron's sentiments about the people of Israel. And the purpose of that program was really to coordinate federal, state, and local activities. Initially, that was going to be happening around economic opportunity pre-pandemic. And then once we moved into the pandemic, it was around that as well. So it wasn't just health issues, but it was also around opportunities for employment and things like that while we were in, you know, various lockdowns. And I think when you talk about immigration, that's another piece of the puzzle that really has been left aside. I mean, you see mayors talking back to the White House and Congress talking back to mayors and what have you. And that communication breakdown, you know, that collaboration that Jerron's talking about really has gone aside and has only exacerbated the problem.
You know, there were a lot of promises that were made roughly 13, 14 years ago when Barack Obama became president. He ushered in, I'm going to bring change, I'm going to help, I'm going to raise up these communities, I'm going to bring unification and so on. And probably, what, about 3 years into that, I saw a number of leaders in Black communities that were decrying because the Obama administration was handing thousands and thousands of dollars out to illegal immigrants while our own people continued to suffer and even suffer more. Is that part of the targeting of what you're aiming at, is to try to not only raise awareness to that, but bring resolution or some kind of means to solve that issue?
We look at four different areas, economic empowerment, affordability. We look at education and workforce, entrepreneurship and wealth creation, and something that's extremely important, safe communities and behavioral health. And what we offer is not just a government solution to all of these issues, but looking at the current resources that we have available federally, doing an audit of those programs, and then listing what happens on the state and local level and creating some type of united government approach that would allow for the private sector to know where to scale, where we have corporate philanthropic dollars, where do we have, faith-based dollars and churches. We look at combining the total resources and then building up a ground-up solution to each and every one of these communities. Because in some communities, it may be the community safety issue is the biggest reason why they're not getting economic development, or it may be a huge behavioral health issue or workforce issue. We want to be very, very conscious that these solutions are going to be unique throughout the country, because we know that the issues of Appalachia are maybe different than the south side of Detroit, of Chicago, or Detroit, or parts of New York. And then we know the rural challenges are often different than some of the urban challenges. And so that's the sort of infrastructure we've been looking at as we do an audit of how we're spending to help lift all these communities up.
You put your finger on it, Pastor. It's about leadership. And that's what Lincoln wanted to do. I mean, of course, he wanted to address the inhumanity of slavery, but his vision really was that economic opportunity for all. You got to remember, he came from a rural area. We've all heard the stories about, you know, how he read books between chopping logs and what have you. And he saw that opportunity for all. And he actually took those actions while he was president. You know, he started the Moral Land Act, which ultimately led to the state universities, because he saw there wasn't enough opportunity for vocational schools for people to not just learn how to work, but also start businesses. Now, after he was assassinated, President Johnson came in, and all of that vision of Lincoln, coupled with that very unique political capability that he had, sort of went to the wayside. Grant tried to sort of bring that back. But when we lost Lincoln, we lost that opportunity. And so now what we're saying is it's not an opportunity lost in the sense that we can bring it back again.
One of the things that so many leaders, conservative leaders in the Black community decry, Larry Elder, Clenard Childress, Candace Owens, Vince Ellison, Project 21 Black Leadership Network, talk about the welfare issue and Johnson's quote-unquote great plan, which has been just devastating
in particular to the Black community, but I think to all minority communities. And I have my own personal story of you know, being told by my church many, many years ago in the very early 90s, we were struggling. And they said, why don't you guys apply for a little bit of assistance to get back on your feet? And when my wife went and applied, they said to her, divorce your husband. If you'll divorce your husband and kick him out of the house, then we'll provide you and the two small children housing and cash aid and food. It's clear that the program's plan is the destruction of families. How do we unwind that, especially in light of how the American family in total, all American families, have been obliterated by these policies?
Yes, I totally agree. We make the case that in meeting the moment where it currently is, there's a huge push to return civil society. You mentioned your church and how church can anchor a community, especially communities that have had three or four generation of trauma and three, four generation of single parent households. And so we have to meet this moment on where it is by creating a community around some of these families, work ethic, things that traditionally get taught in a two parent household sometimes gets kicked away or you know, never found. Individuals grow up with, drug addictions, mental health issues that have never been diagnosed, as well as issues from emotional abuse or physical abuse. And they get passed down from generations. And this is what cooks up an individual who doesn't really care about taking a gun and maybe shooting up a community, you know, because they've never felt the love of God. And so when dealing with those issues, we want to implement two things. One, a strong law enforcement and police department. Two, accountability to breaking laws. And then three, you know, alternatives to crime, you know, which includes allowing those to get a second chance, but also behavioral health infrastructure coupled with the faith-based groups, as well as, you know, opportunities to get on their feet that's not just dependent on the government. And so in order for us to create that infrastructure, we need to kind of have, you know, churches, nonprofits, you know, corporations, businesses on the ground creating a new infrastructure of opportunity that's not totally dependent on the government, but that's dependent on allowing for opportunity to flourish. So humans can flourish individually.
And we make the case that, you know, the reliance on the government entirely has really led to a market failure of sorts, and it stifles one's potential, one's ambition. And that's not just us saying it. This goes back to the conservative principles that have been discussed by Edmund Burke and, you know, de Tocqueville. And we talk about that in the book, because the philosophy of caring for these underserved really is a huge component of the economic philosophy of these conservatives. And that's what Lincoln, you know, was prepared to do. And I think when you're deciding between having someone lift themselves up from their bootstraps versus, you know, sort of the government handouts, there is that middle that we as conservatives can push forward by engaging with the private sector and moving forward in that direction.
There was a comment that I had posted. I posted something on my page, and it had to do with, you know, this injustice. And a gentleman put this up. He wrote, every Black Republican supports the same conservative principles of George Wallace's segregation today, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever. It's their conservative principles that do the damage. How do we unwind that? I mean, when you hear that, I saw your face. It's like, what? How do we get someone who in the Black community that believes that to change their mind?
Well, one is showing up and talking about these ideas. You know, I've had the privilege of going to Howard University and growing up in a Black community. And when I became a Republican, which we discuss in the book, Underserved. You know, I was taught that all Republicans are racist and that they don't care about the poor. But it, in my own curiosity, when I got an opportunity to work for Congressman J.C. Watts, I found out that that was a lie. And so after learning more about the Republican Party and conservative ideology, I then went back and started to talk with people and meet them where they are, allow for them to answer questions, and showing up was a big part of it. But beyond that, we talk about a methodology that it includes being intentional, building trust, collaborating, and producing outcomes, and then studying what worked and what didn't work. And then we go back to intentionality. And I think that methodology has proved very successful in creating some bipartisan relationships on the ground. As a result of using that methodology, we've been able to work with many urban mayors, as well as some more left-leaning congressmen like Cory Booker, when we worked on the First Step Act, or Hakeem Jeffries also worked on the First Step Act with our White House administration under Trump's leadership. And then we also were able to kind of work on opportunity zones and economic empowerment issues with Bob Johnson. And so there's plenty of opportunities for conservatives to really show up in a unique way in these communities, because since we've done some of that groundwork under the Trump administration, which we talk about Underserved, we've seen an uptick of African-Americans interested in the Republican Party. We saw President Trump increase his numbers from, 3% to 12% of the Black community after, doing some of these policies. And I think that in this upcoming election, if conservatives spend the time continuing to build on that trust and that investment that we made in the Trump administration, we can grow those numbers more. And so that's why me and Chris wrote this book, because there is a playbook to go and meet communities where they are and come in with solutions, solutions that can help bring communities together and help empower underserved communities all across the country.
Chris?
No, I agree entirely with what, Jerron was saying. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it goes back to that concept of leadership. And I think you saw it time and time again, particularly in the Trump administration and some of the policies that we were able to work on. And, Jerron made reference to the bipartisan pieces of it. Well, those successes were led by conservatives. Those successes were led by Republicans. And as we all know, successes have many authors, right? And I think, for example, opportunity zones, President Trump led that on the legislative side with Senator Scott. But that's brought on a number of other Democratic folks who have supported it and continue to support it. I want to sort of tweak that in the Biden administration with, different pieces of it. But you got to look at the core piece of opportunity zones. Tens of billions of dollars of investment have brought thousands of people out of poverty. And once again, it's about the leadership, and then those successes will sustain over any administration.
Well, in Black entrepreneurship, Black entrepreneurship under the Trump administration soared. I mean, Black businesses were thriving. Black communities were seeing unemployment rates drop at the most rapid rate in our history. It seemed as though the plan and the program that was being used, and I assume that you guys were a part of the architecture of that plan, was incredibly successful. And yet when the Biden administration came in, they pretty much just nuclear bombed it and ended all those programs.
Or even the regulatory burdens. They reinstituted those regulatory burdens that hurt all businesses, as well as the threat with these progressive taxes. It doesn't allow for an environment for capital creation and investment. And so you know, in light of the pandemic, the pandemic shined a bright light on issues around capital access and the historic relationships between communities of color and banking institutions. And Chris and I worked specifically on the PPP program to create some targeted investment in those communities. And we've continued to be advocates for figuring out a better way to allow for our beautiful, robust capital markets to be accessible by all underserved communities. It continues to be an issue. And you can see that it's very fragile. Just recently, this spring and summer, we were dealing with a bank crisis. And I think Congress is still trying to figure out some solutions to open up those markets.
Yeah.
These are things that we advocate for as conservatives. We also advocate for financial education, from the moment that you touch school, so that individuals, kids learn more about economic empowerment.
We're really quick, because we're at the end of our time together. Where can people get a hold of your book?
Go ahead, Chris.
You can get it on Amazon.com, or you can visit our webpage, www.underservedbook.com, and that has more information there. But thank you so much for having us today. We're very appreciative.
Well, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate what you are doing and the fight that you're fighting. And it's a big mountain, you know, it's a big mountain to climb. We, as you mentioned, John, you've got three, even four generations that you've kind of got to re-educate and get thinking in a different way in order to be able to come out of what they've been indoctrinated to believe and across the country, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. I mean, we have generations everywhere, and I think that's the battle we're fighting right now, even to try to save our kids. So I appreciate all that y'all are doing. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Pastor Greg.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, David Wormser will be with us live from Israel, coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural ortho-silic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your ClanSlate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your ClanSlate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you, and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned, because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I am very pleased to be joined. Now, he is with us live from Tel Aviv. I'm sure most everyone here is aware that Israel was attacked on Saturday. Thousands and thousands of missiles. Some estimates are upwards of 5,000 missiles, perhaps more than that now, fired into Israel. And as a result of that taking place, obviously, they are at war. And it is a
far more serious than anything we've probably most of us have seen in our lifetimes. Certainly as severe, going back roughly 50 years almost to the day, to the Yom Kippur War in 1973. And it has continued. There are reports now of anywhere between 700 and 1,000 people, Israeli citizens, that have been killed. There are multiple thousands that have been wounded. There are reports of somewhere between 100 and 200 that are currently being held hostages. There was the story of the horrific events of the rave that was taking place, and 260 bodies found, young people out in the desert, just in that one situation. They were going door to door. We talked with David quite extensively over the weekend while this was all unfolding for about 2.5 hours. And David, I'm just so glad to be able to see you today and have this conversation. Thank you for being with us.
Oh no, it's always a pleasure being with you. It's great to be on.
We have obviously, you know, many of us have been praying for Israel. You know, a lot of us, I think, although we sensed that this was something more serious and beyond just missiles. I mean, you and I talked. I've got our interviews that folks can go look at of, you know, missiles being sent. They've been sending missiles into Israel periodically. It's been nonstop. I mean, it happens. It's a regular occurrence. It's something that Israelis are generally prepared that sometime during the course of a week, there's going to be attacks and there's going to be missiles that are going to be launched out of Gaza and other places. We drew a map and talked about where the potential attack points could be. All of that being said, this was entirely different.
This was entirely different. It was missiles on large scale, but also on the ground. You know, a moment about geography. Israel is about the size of Connecticut. That should give people an idea. We're not talking about a very large country. It's about the size of Connecticut. More than that, it's stretched out. It's 200 kilometers. It's about, I guess, what, about 220 kilometers from north to south. But it's only about 40 kilometers wide from the river to the sea. The river includes the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, and Gaza. So it's only about 40 miles wide at its widest. So anywhere is within 20 to 30 miles of border in Israel. And right now, you've got three borders that are in a state of extreme tension or at war already. Now, actually, two of them are at war. One is about to be. And those two borders are Gaza and the Lebanon border. And we'll get to the Lebanon in a second. But Gaza, there was a ground invasion by terrorists. Imagine a terrorist attack with 2,000 or 3,000 terrorists at once crossing your border with only one goal in mind, which is to kill. So they did that. And some units of the terrorists got as far in as 25 kilometers, 30 kilometers, which is about 18 to 20 miles. So you're 18 miles, 20 miles from a border, and all of a sudden your town is taken by terrorists.
Right.
And they proceed to slaughter.
And to get a picture again, the entire width of the country, oh, this goofy thing, the entire width of the country is 40 miles, roughly, 40 to 50 miles. So you're correct. Halfway across the country. From a width or from a depth perspective, you're literally in the middle of your country. It would be like somebody who is sitting in Grand Rapids, Michigan, suddenly being invaded, which we are actually, but being invaded by hostile forces from the southern border, you know, or somebody in Billings, Montana, right? That's how far into the country that you know it would be geographically if you put it on a scale of what we're looking at here.
So they came and they invaded and they proceeded to slaughter indiscriminately. Saturday, sadly, was the day in which more Jews have been slaughtered in one day than since the Holocaust. There's not been a deadly day like that for Jews since the Holocaust. And the numbers are horrific. As you said, 700 to 1,000 is the formal number now. But for most people I'm talking to, the number will probably rise to about 1,500.
Now, one of the other things that I found to be rather disgusting about all this is they're trying to roll the Palestinian number into the total number rather than delineate the difference between terrorists who were killed terrorizing versus innocent Israelis that were murdered in their homes and on their streets.
And by the way, I mean, I don't want to go into this because it's too heartbreaking, but they weren't just murdered. I know. Every form of human perversion and sadism was conducted on the bodies and in the way they killed them and in the way they treated them. It truly horrific imagery, bodies strewn all over the place. Some no longer intact, women clearly raped before they were killed. It just, you cannot imagine the brutality and inhumanity of this. It isn't just people were shot. Another thing is many of the bodies, all of the bodies of soldiers and all the bodies of policemen are naked. And the reason for that is they took the uniforms. And they took the vehicles, the military vehicles and the police vehicles. And the reason for that is because they are roaming the country now, dressed as Israeli soldiers and Israeli military vehicles and as Israeli police and Israeli police vehicles. So even here, me, I'm in Tel Aviv, which is far, far away, 40 miles, 35 miles from Gaza.
Right.
There are roadblocks everywhere. There's fear everywhere. There's sirens constantly as they wonder whether a police car that hasn't identified itself as a terrorist or as a police.
Right.
So the situation is very dangerous. There's a sense of security that has collapsed. The Israeli military, there are big questions about what happened. How did they let this happen? There are rumors, more than rumors flying, that there was a massive cyber attack, because what we noticed that morning was here in the center of the country in Tel Aviv, we were not hearing anything. We knew there was an attack. We knew there were missiles. We knew that there was but we thought that there were these minor terrorist attacks on these little villages near the border, but not anything significant.
Right.
And that there would be such small scale units of two or three terrorists that would be taken care of by the local units and the local security forces that are in the little towns and villages and so forth. And what we didn't know for 12 hours what was going on.
They
had gotten in 25 kilometers and we didn't know that. And this tells me, police were not responding, and ambulances were not responding. This tells me that there was something that took down the entire communication structure of the South. Emergency security, emergency communication structure of the South is part of this.
I read a story about a young lady who was you know, near one of those front towns. She was a medic. And that was her job. I mean, she'd been there. She'd been serving for like 4 years or something like that. And she was, you know, helping wounded and what have you, and assisting. And her family said that she sent a message out. We're under attack. They're coming. And the family sent out messages, and they were, you know, and they thought that someone would show up. And 6 hours went by, and no one came.
Yeah.
No one arrived.
Now, if you're in Israel, it's a pretty competent country. I mean, it's a lot like living in San Diego. So you call an ambulance, it's here in a minute.
Right. So 6 hours for the police to not respond. Yeah. 6 hours is.
So when you call an ambulance and nobody shows up,
yep.
or you call the military and nobody shows up, or police, that's a breakdown.
Yeah.
That is indicative of something much worse. And that is not something Hamas could have done. This was done by either Iran or the Russians. By the way, you mentioned very briefly about, the United States is under invasion too. This is a point I think we all need to digest, which is Israel is facing, there's a scene in it, for anybody who's seen Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, it's actually in the book, but in the book series, it's in The Hobbit, not in The Lord of the Rings. There's a sleepless malice that is stirring. And it is moving. It is on the move.
Right, right.
And I sent you that text earlier today.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I think we have to understand something is afoot in the world.
Yep.
It's sensing American weakness. Yep. It's sensing the civilized world is complacent.
Yep.
And it's on the move. The Israelis were complacent. There might have been a cyber failure, a technological failure, or whatever failure in the South, an intelligence failure, all probably true. But deep down, they were no different than our political elites in our countries, where we are complacent about an emerging threat. And this threat is evil. When you see the images of what they did to Israeli civilians, this is packaged evil. And they will come after the United States in the end. That is their ultimate enemy, the ultimate one they hate. And I can guarantee you that among those millions that are crossing the southern border, we have within them some of the same types of people that cross the Israeli border in the south. And they're just waiting for the situation and the circumstance to act.
Well, the Somali situation in Minnesota, I've reported on it here, but the number of unreported rapes that are happening in and around the area in Minnesota where the Somalis have settled, and nothing's happening. There's no police intervention. There's nothing that's going on. But the number of rapes is just stunning. And I got this in just last night, to your point. And this was a bulletin that was sent out by Mossad. And it was a warning. And let me see if I can find that specific post. Here we go. So this is Israel Mossad. We again ask, there was a Israeli tourists in Egypt were murdered in the last 24 hours. They said Jews around the world need to be careful. This is a warning that extends to Western nations, England, Canada, Toronto in particular, Germany, France, and in the United States, New York, Miami, and Florida. Keep your cell phone handy and your eyes open.
Yeah. Israelis have been told to leave every Middle Eastern country because they're at peace with several countries. Israelis are told to come home because it's so dangerous. But again, it means the enemy's within us. Israel's the front line. It isn't unique. It is just the front line. So it's being hit first. And their complacence should be a warning for us. But one thing, by the way, about telling Israelis to come home, it's not going to be possible very easily because the foreign carriers have already been canceling all their flights. But the airport was hit this morning with a missile. It hit a field next to the runways.
Right.
Didn't kill anybody. But I think that's it. I think the airport more or less is now going to be shut down. Maybe Israeli the Israeli national carrier and the two Israeli private carriers may continue to fly limited flights, but I think the priority is being given to soldiers who are coming back to their units, who are abroad on vacation. Because this was the period from New Year's, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, to the Feast of Tabernacles,
right,
the Shemini Atzeret, this is the period where Israeli schools are closed. School starts next week, or was going to start later this week.
Yeah.
So Israelis were on vacation.
Many.
And now they're trapped abroad. They're trapped from coming back. Mm-hmm. And many have to get to their units because a massive amount of Israeli reserves have been called up. At this point, the military is saying it's well over 300,000 reservists have been called up. To give you an idea of that size, Israel's only a nation of 9 million. Yeah. That's a very large number. It's not the maximum number.
4% of the population, roughly. Yeah, 4% of the population, roughly,
has been just recalled
activated
as reservists.
Here's another piece.
That's in addition to the 250,000 active duty.
To what you're saying, and you confirm this as well, but intel sources are urgently reporting, and you mentioned this, that Muslims will be burning every major city in Europe in protest of the coming Israeli offensive in Gaza. Intelligence sources say worst hit will be Paris, Brussels, London, and Marseille. And there is indication that they are going to be targeting here. There's already been protests, by the way, in several major cities, including here in Texas, in favor of the Palestinians, in favor of the, and I posted on my Facebook page, if you're a Palestinian sympathizer or you are one of those elders of Zion conspiracy theorists who believe the Russian propaganda that was created by Ian Pacheco, who admitted to it after he came, what do they call that when they, what do they do? Defect. When he had defected.
Defect.
Yeah. Defect, when he had defected. Folks, this is serious stuff. One of the other things, and we're going to run out of time, and then David, perhaps I can get you back on in a couple of hours to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, any time at night, we're not sleeping.
I understand. Well, we unfortunately, I want us to get in because Russia now is apparently meeting with the Arab nations, and they are all talking about a two-state solution, which you and I know what that means is to push Israel into the sea. Give me about a 3-minute synopsis on you know, again, what that ultimately looks like. And one other piece, there's a lot of buzz right now that this is going to create chain reactions of responses by different nations, which is ultimately going to lead us into potentially World War III.
Right. As far as the two-state solution, when we said 40 miles wide Israel, we included in that Judea and Samaria and Gaza, which means the two states would be within this territory. And now you just saw how dangerous it is to have a border. I mean, what's left? I mean, if Israel gives up Judea and Samaria, what's left for Israel means there's no territory that would be more than 8 miles from the border. So that's number one.
Yep.
Number two, I've heard again and again Israelis say, we did a huge mistake. We brought a cobra into our bed and we thought we could protect ourselves from it. You cannot go to sleep with a cobra in your bed and be safe.
Yep.
It will not happen.
Yep.
You will not tame the cobra. You can't wear underpants that are thick enough to defend against the cobra.
Yep.
It will bite you and kill you.
Well,
and that is what the Israelis have learned.
You
now,
can't,
as far as the expansion.
Yes.
The northern border is heating up in the last hour. As we speak, I'm getting dings of missiles coming in into the north, an infiltration in the north. This could be the beginning of the expansion to Lebanon. There is fighting now,
right,
for real fighting now going on that border. But it will not be a border incident in Lebanon if Israel this is a bigger war
yep
with Lebanon. And then Syria is under the control of Hezbollah, and Iran. So that would spread to the Syrian border. And that's the two of the three borders that I mentioned, which is Gaza, Syria, and Lebanon. Yeah. And Jordan is unstable. It's at peace with Israel, so it's a peaceful border. But a lot of Jordanians have been trying to cross the border. So you could see terrorists using the territory of Jordan to attack Israel.
Right.
So it's a very tense situation, extremely tense. And I believe by tonight, and here it's already 5 o'clock, I believe by tonight, this may be a 2 or 3 front war already.
Which is just unbelievable. I mean, when you're talking about the territory being
right.
The size.
And when that happens, you have Yemen. You know, Yemen will send its drones into Israel and missiles. And then you have, Iran has allies all over the Middle East that it's taken over. Mm-hmm. And they will join in the fun and games. Yemen will send hundreds of these suicide drones you see terrorizing Ukraine. You'll see them being sent into Israel, too. I believe the Israelis have responses for that. But still, this is not a pleasant circumstance.
Well, and at the end of the day, the issue here is that Israel is going to have to continue to ramp up its response. And I mean, they have to. There's no choice. And as they ramp up their response, that will trigger more responses by their enemies and responses by those enemies in the cities that I mentioned, in the countries that I mentioned. And the result of that is going to draw others into this situation, which is intentional. And we need to be prepared right here, folks. We need to be prepared. I have a prophet friend that just sent out a message to all of his followers. He said, stock up. Get to the stores and stock up because it's coming down.
Yeah.
We'll talk.
Israel is also on a very short leash. I mean, short timeline. They don't have that many missiles to shoot down missiles. These are expensive missiles.
Right.
And it takes, you know, it's a high-tech missile that's very expensive, and the missiles shot at Israel are low-tech lob things. Israel needs to go in on the ground very rapidly because it can't spend all its anti-missiles on Gaza when there's close to 300,000, 500,000 missiles in Lebanon that they're going to have to deal with.
Understood.
So you're, and then now they're going to have to deal with drones coming from Yemen and from Syria, from Iraqi, you know, Hezbollah forces and Iraqi Shiite forces in Iraq, and then Iran itself. So the Israelis have to decisively win on every front within hours and days, so that they don't have missile threats, so they can preserve their anti-missile missiles.
All right.
By the way, there's an air raid siren in Jerusalem.
All right. We are going to take our break right now. We will be back with you in an hour, okay? I will reach back out. Is that okay? I'll reach back out to you in an hour? Okay.
Fine. It's 6 o'clock my time, which what, 6 minus 8 is 10 in the morning, I guess.
Yes, 10 o'clock. Yes, 10 o'clock my time. Yeah. So I will be reaching back out to you in an hour.
Sounds great.
Okay. Thank you, David. All right. God bless you, brother. All right. Bye-bye. Shalom. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. More straight ahead.